And welcome to Four Quarter Friday here on the Chiefs Sports Network. I am Matt Smith, coming to you from coastal South Carolina. And as you can see from my backdrop, I'm in a baseball frame of mind. That despite the cold weather, I know we're going to have snow this weekend, but I've got a little baseball on my mind. That is Steve Hall broadcasting from the Midlands. Today, we will be joined by the state's Lou Bazejack and Sacristy Athletic Director Josh Vinson from along the Grand Strand as we endeavor to bring you coverage from every corner of the Palmetto State's high school sports scene. Steve, we have some teams being humbled in region play and then others flexing their muscle. You actually saw that earlier this week. And we have some football jobs filling up, which when you combine that with our recent realignment and reclassification, I think it makes for fascinating discussion about some of the names that I think a lot of high school sports fans across our state will know and will know from their achievements elsewhere, and now they're in new places. So I think that makes for a really interesting conversation that we will have, and we'll dig into it, obviously, with Lou Bazejack, and then we'll talk realignment with Sacristy Athletic Director Josh Vinson. Steve, I don't know, are you warm enough where you are?
Just barely. We got my good Palmetto State Armory hoodie. Just a free plug for them. This is my favorite hoodie right now. It's comfy and warm. And
future sponsor of
Four Quarter Friday. Not too tight on my growing belly through this winter hibernation period that we have.
You're putting on weight? Are you putting on
weight? Oh, yeah.
I'm trying. I'm doing everything I can. I'm doing everything I can to stave it off, but I put on 10 pounds this winter as I've done that. Steve, you got to take in.
Yeah.
We won't dig into it too deeply in this segment, but you got to take in two of the best teams that we have in this state earlier this week. So I want to just tease that. We'll talk about that in our next segment. We'll also bring you our top 10 rankings. But for me, Steve, the top story is the names that are landing some of these jobs in high school football. I thought it was a really interesting cycle this offseason, especially because you had it hit at the same time as reclassification, because we have some head coaches now taking jobs where those teams are going to be, for some of these programs, it's brand new region, brand new classification, brand new head coach.
Yeah, man. Some of these jobs are very, a lot of very familiar names. I think four out of the six on the screen here fairly well, and excited to see what they do with these programs. Bradley Adams is a longtime head coach now at Colleton County. He's coached at Georgetown, Union, Woodruff. I think he might be the all-time wins leader at Georgetown High School.
He is.
There's some inside jokes with me and some friends that he looks like John Gruden. We got John Gruden at Colleton County now. It might be hard to see it on screen. Now you got Stephen Cagle at St. James. This is going to be his second head coaching job. His first one was at Ben Lippin High School in the Skeezer ranks. And he's been helping the Lexington Wildcats for a while now. And his dad, Mark Cagle, is a longtime coach in the South Carolina High School League. His dad's been, at White Knoll and Gilbert and Flora. And those are just the ones top of my head. Jody Jenneret, of course, is a Conway alum. And, anytime Conway has ever come open, his name or Mickey Wilson's name has been rumored to, potentially fill that. And that timing is everything, Smitty. He did a fantastic job at Ayner in a tough region when they were playing Dillon a lot of times, trying to get to the region championship. And then he took the West Florence job and did a really good job over there. And then has since been, I'm an assistant at North Myrtle Beach. And yep. So now he's coming home. So it's going to be exciting to see him back at his alma mater. Corey Helms.
By the way, I want to say that is one of those jobs in Conway. I think it's a good job.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to have to instill discipline. For some reason, that became a very a loose group in the last couple of years. But from what I have heard, Joni Jennerette is a big weight room fanatic in terms of, you know, developing the program through the weight room. So that obviously, that will take a little time, but we ought to see better discipline in year one. And that's another one of those jobs, Steve. They're dropping to 4A, so new region, the beach region is no more as we knew it. And I think Conway dropping to 4A, they're probably going to be one of the, in my opinion, one of the better, it's going to offer better opportunities when they get to the playoffs. And we assume that, Joni Jennerette can turn it around that fast. That's a team that really scuffled last season. But rich history, obviously Carolina Forest exploding and taking some of the enrollment that would have gone to Conway when you and I were growing up and seeing Conway have such success, you know, dating back to the Big 16 days. But now Joni Jennerette, in my opinion, is in a prime position to capitalize on the fact that it's a new region, to me, a winnable region, and then also dropping down to 4A and then bringing the energy and the discipline that he's going to bring. So that's one. Look, all of these coaches have great reputations. That's why they were hired. But that's one I would really circle, that you could see one of those major turnarounds go from a team outside the playoffs to challenging for the region title in 1 year.
Yep. And one other note before we hit our first break, Smitty, I know that Victor Floyd just was announced yesterday. His press conference is going to be today at 12:30. The new head coach at White Knoll, coming from Chester, where he won a state championship in 2018. So if you were listening to last week's episode, we dropped that little Easter egg kind of as a hint.
You did. You are plugged in, Steve. By the way, that's what we have. And we'll do that in the next segment, because we'll bring you the top 10 rankings that have changed since last week. We have some new number ones. We'll bring those to you. And you actually got to chat with a couple of coaches on the record, off the record last week. And it's where you pick some of this intel up. But that was one you did drop on us. You thought Victor Floyd would get that job. You actually, I don't know if you did it on air, you called Joni Jennerette would get the Conway job as well. You nailed that. And you've got another one. You have a prediction for another major school that I don't know if we want to mention, because we will after it happens, because that's what we don't want to tangle with the rumor mill at the high school level. You know, that's not what this show is about. We want to celebrate the achievements of these high school coaches and athletes. But once there's another big job inside the state that's going to be filled, and when it happens, I'll brag on you, Steve, because you've been telling me kind of behind the scenes who you think is going to get that job. We'll reveal that maybe next week. That's a reason to keep tuning in to Four Quarter Friday into next week.
Yep.
All right, we'll take our first break. And when we come back, we will reveal those top 10 rankings. As I said, Steve Hall took one in earlier this week, got to talk to some coaches, got to see these players up close. And there's one team that he saw that absolutely, positively lived up to the hype. So we'll reveal that to you when we come back in our next segment. We also have Lou Bazejack joining us at 9 a.m. from the state to talk about all this regional realignment and the best teams that he has put his eyes on in the Midlands. And at 9:30 today, Socastee Athletic Director Josh Vinson, one of those athletic programs in Socastee that was most affected by regions being split, changed. Now he's got to bus all of his teams from the Socastee area in Surfside, the Surfside Myrtle Beach area, all the way to the Monk's Corner area, and he's got to do it consistently. How does that affect him as an athletic director? How does it affect the fan base? Was he in favor of it? And what changes might he suggest the South Carolina High School League make in the future when we go through this next round of reclassification? All that's happening. Be sure to keep up with us on the Chief Sports app. I know there's been a lot of great stuff across the network. I still haven't watched all of Jamie Bradford's conversation with Mike Morgan's conversation with Paul Manieri from yesterday. That's up on YouTube. That's streaming on the app, the Chief Sports app. So if you have it downloaded, absolutely do that. There's all kinds of great Gamecock news. We're focused on high school sports. We'll continue that with the top 10 rankings, new number ones revealed to you when we come back here on Four Quarter Friday. We'll be right back.
The Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home with your dream space, to watch the games and entertain your friends and family. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
You're tuned into the State of South Carolina's weekly high school show, Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Matt Smith and Steve Hall, part of the Chief Sports Network, and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. Now it's the color I bleed in, the stitches in my stitches and my stitches and my stitches in my pride is a capital letter. It's the color I bleed in, the stitches in my shoes and my jacket matching. Right. Right. Yeah, we got pride. Yeah, we got pride.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. We are now into the second quarter of the program, as we are going to bring to you now the top 10 rankings across high school basketball and all classifications. We'll reveal those to you. Now, our man, Steve Hall, actually got to take in North Augusta and Gray Collegiate. And usually we start talking about 5A Division I and 5A Division II, but Steve, we'll start right here. We're going to have to say the 4A boys top 10 is headed by Gray Collegiate and North Augusta. Tell us what you saw taking that game in. Gray Collegiate lived up to the billing, as I said, flexing its muscle as the number one team in 4A boys.
Yeah, well, obviously you'll see my background today is the North Augusta gym. They call it the Jacket's Nest, it was a fantastic, number one, fantastic place to watch a game. It's a beautiful arena. It's on the newer side. They have a great jumbotron in the corner of the gym that does a fantastic job of making sure the score is up there. They got the drop down. I don't know if you can see it there with the score on all four sides. North Augusta, though, what came into the game, they were down their two best players, and I found that out when I got there, and I was like, ooh, that's not a great place to start when you're going up against Gray Collegiate, and seeing those guys in person for the first time this year, They're talented. And from a physicality standpoint, a lot of length and height, and wasn't sure how North Augusta was going to be able to win that game. And they did not turn out to win that game. But I will say for the majority of the game, they were within striking distance. They came out of their first quarter ahead. I believe it was 14-7 at the end of the first quarter. Their defense, where they were playing a 2-3 zone and really kind of limiting power forward Levi Ball from, you know, really, you know, taking hold of the offense for Gray. They got him going a little later on, but they North Augusta did a great job, coached under Tony Harrelson, longtime coach there at North Augusta, of limiting buckets in the paint. And that was their key, I thought, to keeping them in the game. It just proved that they had too much to overcome at the end with not enough depth. And at the end of the game, North Augusta had Gray had taken a 4-point lead with about 3 minutes left in the game. And Gray decides to hold the ball. You know, now that's without a shot clock in the high school league. That's something you can do. They held the ball near half court for about 90 seconds and basically rendered the final result moot after that point. North Augusta seemed okay with that at the time because they were gassed. They were coming out of their own timeout and saw it as an opportunity, I believe, to kind of give their guys some more time to kind of get refreshed, so to speak. But it proved too much at the end. But it did bring up an interesting topic that I think we should talk about, Smitty, is shot clock in high school ball. Now, it's allowed in tournament play and preseason tournaments and holiday tournaments and so forth. But I got to say, I feel like the end of that game would have been a lot more compelling if there was a shot clock in this regular season region matchup.
Look, I've been for it for a long time. And then we've had conversations with coaches and athletic directors, and they've given us the reasons why it doesn't work for every high school across the South Carolina High School League. And oftentimes what we heard was that, you know, it's a budget issue, you know, purchasing the shot clocks, having somebody to operate it, making sure the system always worked. But I think there's a lot of momentum for it based on some of the things that we've seen, including what you've seen. The game of basketball has evolved over the years. Almost never do you see a team try to really win at a high level. Like, you weren't going to see North Augusta when it's at full strength. I think we have to, you know, we have to bring that up. If you see Gray Collegiate and North Augusta, I mean, you said that Gray, the Eagles held the ball for about 90 seconds. You know, we're not in a position where it's up to, like, where teams are holding the ball for 4 minutes, running the four quarters and just soaking the whole thing off. I just don't think that players want to do that. I don't think you have coaches. I don't think you have much appetite for that either, because it's just not a good product. I'm really curious to see if there's more momentum in it. And we've got a guest coming up in Josh Vincent, an athletic director, and asking him about it. What would it entail? You know, when we can go through cost, and then we can also go through, you know, competitive balance, because some teams, I do know, especially at the lower levels, want to hold the ball when they're overmatched against a team that just has a run of athletes. And I know that's still out there, and those coaches are never going to be in favor of when they're outmanned. But look, I just think basketball, the game has evolved. I've been having this conversation on shows like this for 20 years. I was in favor of it then, because I just don't think basketball, maybe when it was designed, when it was first created, it was a game that was meant to be more slow moving. But as athletes have evolved over the years and our attitudes toward the game have changed, I just feel like it's time for a shot clock. And I'd like to hear the pushback. I'd like to hear the argument to the other side from some of these athletic directors and coaches before I go crowing about it too much, but I've always been in favor of it.
Well, I'll crow for it, because yeah. I'll say this from a fan perspective. which is what drives these teams to the levels that they're at. You know, without these fans and the ticket sales and all that stuff, you know, that is what helps make high school basketball in South Carolina really good. It was a packed gym. And you know, yeah, everybody in that gym wanted to see North Augusta with some more possessions. Now, does it help them at times? Yes, but you know, more possessions when you're down by 4 points is critical. So, Smitty, I would be a huge fan. I think we're there. I think we need to be there. And I see that you're frozen. I don't know if you're oh, there you go. You're coming back home. But you know, I don't know that you're right. I think we're there for needing a shot clock, and you know, I'd love to see it around, you know, a 30-second, you know, shot clock. We don't need to go NBA, you know, 25 seconds, but you know, that's just my opinion. I'll stick to it. You know, I'm not a basketball guy as far as X's and O's, but from a fan perspective,
I think all of that is fair, Steve, and we'll bring it up with our next two guests. So yep, let's go through quickly some of the other changes in all. So we started with 4A, so we will stay with that. So everybody wrap your heads around this. 4A boys top 10. Gray Collegiate is number one with an exclamation point. North Augusta is number two, and as you mentioned, two of their best players, including Kamarion Webb, who has over 1,000 points in his career, were not available for the game, for the showdown against the Eagles. So everybody hang on. We're going to find out if North Augusta gets those players back for the playoff run. There's a handful of region games left, 5 or 6 region games, depending on how your schedule plays out with this weather. But North Augusta is still in this. And you were impressed by what you saw from Coach Harrelson and the way he managed without two of his best players, arguably his two best players, not making that game. Also, in 4A boys top 10, Wilson is 3, Bluffton is 4, Darlington 5, Crestwood 6, Brooklyn Casey 7, May River is 8, Lawrence 9th, and the South Point Stallions come in at number 10. Now, we will go to 5A. We're going to get through these before we have our guest on, Lou Bazejack. In Division 1, 5A, Ridgeview, a team that you're very familiar with, Steve, as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Blazers are 18-3, 6-1 in Region 5, 5A. But if you look at it like from a boxer's perspective, that one loss came against Westwood, and they have since avenged that loss in a major way. So Ridgeview is, you said this 2 weeks ago, and you said it again last week. You're like, you keep saying they're a buzzsaw. Ridgeview yeah. is talented. They're on the road at Spring Valley tonight. The last time those two teams met, Ridgeview put it on the Vikings 72-26. That was about 3 weeks ago. We probably expect Ridgeview to keep rolling, but 18-3, 6-1, a team that you love, and you and I both hinted at, you know, maybe our pick to win the state championship at that level.
Yeah, I mean, Ridgeview is, like I said last week, since that loss to Westwood over the Christmas break, they've just been taking that frustration out on every opponent since. And they did so on Tuesday night. They beat Westwood, their rival, at home 64-47. And, I'm telling you, I know we had Andrew Baxley on, a couple weeks ago and, or was that last week, Smitty? But
yeah, last week.
Yeah, last week. And Andrew, you know, was of the opinion that, Burns might, you know, be his favorite to win the state championship due to their shooting prowess. And I'll say, you know, those shooting teams do seem to come back just a little bit when it comes to the playoffs and they start playing teams that are more closely matched to them. And Ridgeview's a team that, you know, plays a lot of defense too. And so, defense wins championships. So, and I know we got Lou coming in soon.
Let me get through these. I'll get through these, and then we'll bring Lou in. So this is Division 1 5A. Dutch Fork, 17-3, 4-1 in region play. They're at Chapin tonight. Dutch Fork recently lost to Irmo, another team that is fantastic. So there's no shame in that.
And that's Dutch Fork's only region loss. The Foxes are 4-1 in Region 4, 5A. West Ashley comes in at number 3 in Division 1, 5A. Boys, West Ashley, 17-3. They're undefeated in Region 8. Tonight, they host James Island. Cane Bay is 19-3. That's a team that was red hot to start the season. Coming down to earth, they're still number 4 in 5A Division 1. They are 4-2, but they're in a gauntlet of a region, the region of death. The Cobras boast some of the best defensive statistics in the state, but you've got to give they were holding opponents to less than 50 points per game until Berkeley got them and beat Cane Bay 68-59. So, now, hey, Cane Bay now giving up 50.7 points per game. So still fantastic defensively, but how about this? They've got powerhouse Goose Creek tonight, and they're on the road at Goose Creek. I don't know how many teams in the state can expect to go to Goose Creek and win. The Gators are 21-1. They have not lost to a team inside the state yet this year. Burns comes in at number 5, 16-4 overall, 7-1 in Region 2, 5A. We have Lane Fowler, head man for the Burns Rebels, joining us next week. Their only loss in the region is to Riverside. We'll get to Riverside in a moment. Dorman is 6-5 in Division 1, 5A, 15-5, 6-2 in region play. The Cavs host Spartan High tonight. That last game decided by 4 points. The last time those two teams played, Dorman got them 63-59. Ashley Ridge is 7th. Spartan High is 8th. So a top 10 matchup with Dorman tonight. Carolina Forest is 9th. Sumter is 10th. In 5A Division 2, Riverside, the top team, 18-2 overall, arguably the best team in the state. That's an argument we can have with some of our basketball experts that we'll bring on. Westwood is number 2, 7-1 in region play. You just mentioned it. The only loss they have in region play is to powerhouse Ridgeview. Goose Creek is 21-1. They may be the number 1 team the next time we join you. T.L. Hanna is 4th. Fort Mill is 5th. Greenville is 6th. St. James is 7th. Indian Land is 8th. Irmo is 9th, coming off a big-time win over Dutch Fork in a defensive tussle, 48-42. Eastside is 10th. We mentioned 4A and 3A boys. Christ Church, who has a win over Dutch Fork, is number 1 in 3A. Loras is 2. Fox Creek is 3rd. Georgetown, 4th. Keenan, 5th. Waccamaw, 6th. St. Joseph's Catholic is 7th. Battery Creek is 8th. Orangeburg-Wilkinson, 9th. Chapman, 10th. In 2A, High Point Academy is the top-ranked team in 2A boys, followed by Andrew Jackson, Central, Mullins, Hampton County, Liberty, Chesney, Philip Simmons, Burke, and then Marion Fairfield Central are tied at 10th. 1A boys top 10, Horse Creek Academy, C.A. Johnson, Bethune Bowman, Carver's Bay, Hunter Kennard, Tyler, Latta, Calhoun County, Green Sea Floyds, Abbeville, and Charleston Math and Science. We'll get to the girls top 10 after we speak with Lou Bazejack. Let's go ahead and bring Lou in from the state. Lou, we really appreciate you joining us because I know that I know it's a busy time. I guess you'll sleep in July. You had the football state championships. And then you jump right into region play for all this boys and girls basketball. You have all of the spring sports coming up. And then they sandwich all of this realignment and reclassification, which I think probably took more up of your Twitter feed than anything else you've done in the last couple of years. So, Lou, we really appreciate it. And I know you haven't slept. I know you're cold. So let's relax and talk a little ball for a minute. Welcome to Four Quarter Friday.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, it's been busy, but I mean, and then throw in coaching changes as well. We had another few filled this week and another couple going to be filled in the next few weeks. So, yeah, it's going to be busy. And then you throw in other sports. The wrestling playoffs are supposed to start this weekend. I don't know if they'll get underway this weekend or wait until the next week after the weather. We'll have to wait and see later today.
Lou, let me jump in with this. I was following you as all of the appeals were being made. And Steve and I were talking. So this is a few weeks ago when the reclassification, they first came out and they said, okay, we're going to hear appeals. And I thought It was the most dramatic. It should have been a reality show. I could not believe the things that you were reporting from on site. We couldn't go into all of it. Could you distill some of the most fascinating things that you saw, some of the reactions of the panel? I know Chick-fil-A was involved. I know people there were people saying that, well, they may get their appeal denied because it's right up against lunch. Like, what did you see with the South Carolina High School League and reclassification and the soap opera that you covered?
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. There are a lot of appeals, and they did the first appeals before the executive committee. Then the appellate panel was really where some of this stuff is crazy. James Island's appeal, where they definitely were adamant and that they should be in 4A. And then you had the case with the Florence schools, South Florence and West Florence. They had the clerical error and the miss. They didn't have the right numbers, and they were able to win their appeals. And yeah, it was a lot of schools not happy. Some schools were happy, and I think we might see it a little bit again in the next week or two as the region appeals begin. I mean, they just put out the region appeals last week, so I don't know. We'll have that much drama and that much going on like it was for the classifications. But yeah, it was something. It always is. Very passionate. Especially with the multiplier, a lot of schools say they don't need the 3.0 multiplier. There was an amendment that was trying to get passed, but was not recommended to get the multiplier down to 2. And then you have with the transfer stuff. It's been crazy, and it's been fun to watch in some things.
Lou, thanks for joining us. Could you dig a little further into the multiplier proposals and then the transfer proposals that were coming, happening this week? I saw you had an article on the state
this week. Yeah, there was 21 total amendment changes or bylaw changes. Like I said, the process, it got to be recommended by the executive committee, recommended or not recommended, but that's not the final say. So they'll vote on that in March. But there was two regarding senior transfers. One, because right now, if you wait till your senior year to do it, you got to sit a third of the games or 22 days, whichever is more. There was one amendment that said they get away with it. You don't need that extra penalty. That was not recommended. Then there was one that was a stiffer penalty. It was 5. You would sit out half the season if you wait till your senior year to do it. And that also wasn't recommended. We'll see what happens in March in Charleston. And then you had the multiplier. There was one that they wanted to down. It was actually withdrawn, but it was. Player was only going to count the out-of-zone students as 2. One did pass, which you're not going to be able to count, or one did was recommended that don't count if you're out of zone and your parent teaches at that school, you will not be accounted as 3, or your parents are active military. So that was recommended. And another one that wasn't recommended was if you're in a feeder school or at that school, like say Christ Church, they have K-12. If you've been there from fifth grade on, that you would not be counted as a multiplier. That was not recommended. So we'll see.
So there seems to be some confusion even in the coaching circles on this rule and how it impacts players. You see a lot of transfers are going around the state right now. Juniors, they're currently in their junior year, but they finished their junior year in football, so to speak. For example, now transferring in the second semester. Does the high school league count them as a senior after their season has played, and then they will have to sit out potentially?
Correct. Yeah, that like football or let's see, any other fall sport,
volleyball or cross country.
Volleyball, cross country. If you're a senior, if you're just finished your junior year of football and you're going to transfer to school, and for that football, and if you haven't done it. You're one trying to transfer. You waited till then. It will be, yeah, you got to sit out a third of the games unless you qualify for a hardship. But say, like, if you do that and you're playing baseball as well, you wouldn't have to sit out for the baseball portion because you haven't played that sport yet. So it's just whatever you played in that fall. And like you said, there it has been announced, the kids have announced that they're going to play. They've transferred. Some have already enrolled. So, yeah, unless you qualify for a hardship or that amendment gets passed, then, yeah. So we'll see. But, yeah.
Now, the old way of doing it. Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you this, Lou. The old way of doing it, right, you had to move. Like, there had to be a legit move. And my understanding now is that doesn't even matter. So even if you have a legit move.
Yeah, bona fide move does not matter now with the one-time transfer. The bona fide move part, you don't have to have that anymore.
This is fascinating. Lou, and you're doing a fantastic job with it, by the way. I'd encourage everybody to follow Lou, and you see it there in his description there, the state newspaper. Well, let's move on to ball. I imagine you did not get into this profession to cover the South Carolina High School League Appellate Committee. I'm just guessing. You got in it because we all love being at the games, and you mentioned the coaching changes. We'll get back to the coaching changes in a minute because White Knoll has a big story with Victor Floyd being hired there. We'll get back to that in a minute. But let me ask you about basketball in the Midlands right now. It really raised my eyebrows. Irmo getting a big win over Dutch Fork. Those two are right there in your backyard. Has Irmo been underrated this season? Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to vote on these teams. They play out of state. They take some losses. And also you get the football players back after the playoffs and things like that. So these teams change as the season progresses. So how impressed were you by Irmo getting that win?
That was a huge win, and they had their lumps early on in region play. I think they lost their first two games to start region play, but they bounced back. They won on a buzzer beater against White Knoll, and then the next week you come back and beat Dutch Fork, who was unbeaten in the region. So, yeah, that sets up. They're right now the only team that could, with the wins and losses, unless Dutch Fork would lose tonight and other, that they could technically – contend for the region championship. But yeah, they got some good players. Christian Brown's good, and Alex Quillen, that's a tough spot to be in, trying to replace Tim Whipple. He came in last year, did a pretty decent job, and it's now they were really good at the beginning. They were ranked, I think, as high as in the top three or four in Division II. And Dutch Fork, I think, is the team that we're going to have to watch in the playoffs. And they're going to be in that upper state, that 5A Division I upper state with Ridgeview and Dorman and Burns and those guys. I think the 5A Division I upper state, that Final Four, could be really good to watch and see how that plays out.
Lou, you had an article earlier this week, too, about Keenan's coach, and he's not yet joined the sideline yet or joined the team. Do you have an update for us for anybody who has not seen the article yet?
Well, there was. I mean, I think the plan was for parents and that to go to the board meeting on the Richland One board meeting on Tuesday, and that kind of speak up on Coach Norris's behalf and try to get him reinstated. It didn't happen. There was no one signed up, but I think there was supposed to be a meeting. I'm not sure when or if. It maybe was like maybe next week, whether parents and that can talk to the Richland One superintendent, the Keenan principal, and that to voice their concerns. Coach Norris has not been able to coach all year. There was a sanction. He did get suspended for recruiting. Not recruiting. It was a kid that played on a roster in the summer that wasn't yet enrolled, and that's a violation. So, yeah. So the suspension, he served. It's past the 13 games, but I think because Coach Norris was not a employee of the school, it's a hire rehire, and they had not officially rehired. Those games did not count. So, it's becoming increasingly that who knows if he's going to coach. He's already the postseason. Part of the penalty is he couldn't post coach appeal, so that is passed. So maybe they can get him on the bench for the last few games. They get a big region game against Fox Creek coming up in the next couple of weeks. But in all their games, will have to be on the road in the playoffs. So that puts you at a little disadvantage. But it's interesting why they didn't appeal. I'm not sure all the reasons. Rich the one, they released the statement to us, but they haven't let us talk to the principal or anyone involved.
Well, wow. they're ranked number five in 3A, and that's an interesting classification this year. Do you have any kind of like crystal ball forecast for how 3A shakes out the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting. I think the team that beat Keenan a couple weeks ago, Fox Creek, is going to be one to watch. You got Christchurch in the upper state. Loras, who made a run last year into the lower state final, Keenan beat him. It's a team to watch. You got Keenan. You got Georgetown. OW is always a team to watch. Keenan being in the lower state, I think Keenan, Loras, Fox Creek, one of those three teams probably. And then upper state, you got Christchurch, St. Joe's, Chapman, you throw in them mix, and those will be battling out in the upper state in 3A.
Lou, one of the teams that's been on an absolute heater recently is Ridgeview, 18-3 overall, 6-1 now in region play. They've won six in a row, but here's the thing, all by double digits. So we knew they were talented coming into the season. They took that one loss, that little hiccup to Westwood, and it seems like they've recalibrated themselves. Where do you put them, like their odds of you already mentioned how tough it's going to be in the playoffs, because then you're going to have those Region 2 5A teams that are coming in as well to compete. But where do you put Ridgeview's odds of keeping this going all the way through region season and riding this momentum to a championship?
Yeah, they're definitely the favorites in 5A Division 1. I mean, two-time defending state champs. They lose their two of their top players. I mean, the transfer, Yale Davis transferred to school in Florida. Corey Corbett's at Oak Hill. And you still, they have these, you got Talon Saylor, who's Josh, the head coach's son, who got selected for Carolina's Classic this week. And then you got these a pair of sophomores and RJ Day. Listen, CJ Moore and DJ Wiley, a junior. They're very talented and are very long. So there's not a lot of teams that can match up size-wise with their length in that. And they can shoot the ball. JT Callahan had a good game the other night against Westwood in the rematch, and they really put it to them. I think that loss, they were going to that the Westwood game, the first one. They're coming off a huge tournament win, the Arby's Classic in Tennessee, which had a lot of good teams. You're riding that. You're still on break. I don't know if they were overlooking Westwood or just one of those nights. Westwood was able to – DeMarcus Thomas had a great game. But that loss definitely got their attention, and they're definitely focused. And I think they should run through the rest of the region, and they would have the tiebreaker over Westwood and be that number one seed, at least one of the top seeds. I haven't looked at the RPIs for the upper state teams as of today, but they should be close to being a one or two seed for the playoffs.
All right, well, we'll absolutely have you back on when that time comes. As I said, we want to give you time to sleep as well, Lou, because I know you're going to be busy all the way through until they wrap up these state championships. I want to ask you about coaching changes before we let you go. We've got a hire. Chapin has hired Corey Helms, and then most recently, White Knoll and Victor Floyd got together too. So take it where you want it. Just tell us what you think about those hires, their backgrounds, and how it impacts those programs.
Yeah, I think Corey Helms, obviously, this is a job he's pointed at for a few years now. He was a finalist the last time when Justin Gentry stepped down and Ryan Cole was hired, and Helms stayed at Cardinal Newman. Then he went to Pelion last year, did a pretty good job there, won five games, which is could be hard to do at times at Pelion, and now gets to step in for a Chapin team that's coming off an 0-10 year. They lost some key players last year to transfer, but it's a great – I mean, as far as school – and facilities and that, it's definitely a good one. It's in that region though, with Dutch Fork and River Bluff and White Knoll and that. But I know Helms definitely will bring a lot of energy to the program and a lot of toughness. And I look forward to see how it turns out there. White Knoll, Victor Floyd, probably going to go down as one of the better hires of this coaching cycle. You get a guy that been the two state championships, won one, did a great job at Chester in both of his stints. So wherever he's gone, pretty much he's won. Coached at C.A. Johnson years ago. He's coaching North Carolina and Georgia. Old school mentality, I think. I think he'll get the guy's attention. You're replacing a guy like Pelham, who was a kind of no-nonsense guy. So a pretty good guy to follow up with him. You got a proven winner Hopefully they can keep, you know, with the transfer stuff. I know they lost already one of their guys. If they could keep their roster together, they got a lot of young talent. Their quarterbacks should be back. So look forward to see how he does there. Press conference is for later today. So get a chance to talk to him and see his thoughts and why it was time to leave Chester, a place he's been, like you said, two stints and won that state championship. The first one, I think, since the school's integrated. I remember being at that game when they beat Dillon. It was a heck of a game, and just the emotion and the pride that community had. And I know it's a big loss for Chester. Be interesting to see where he goes. And then earlier this week, you had the three Grand Strand schools, Conway, St. James, and North Myrtle, filling their coaching vacancies. You got Perry Woolbright, who's coached around here and was at Clover, going to North Myrtle. Jody Jenneret going, who was out of football as a head coach last year, going to Conway, and Stephen Cagle, Lexington assistant, former Florida quarterback, going to St. James.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of guys with connections that you know, and names that we knew, I think, or if you dug into it, you said, oh, wow, I was watching him call plays last year, you know, and so a lot of impact that those coaches are going to have. And then some of them are in new regions. Some of them dropped in classifications, making it a little more winnable. All right, we'll dig into all that next time. Lou, we really appreciate your time. Love to follow everything that you write, everything that you do. You help us do this show. And we'll have you back on in a couple of weeks. Whenever you get some time, we can start talking about high school playoffs.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Lou. Sweet Lou Bazejack, always so good to us and so good to spend that much time with us today, Steve, because as you said, you're throwing stuff out that he'd just written this week he has to follow up on. He's busy. He's juggling all this. He's going to be at games tonight, covering as best he can, and then you have behind the scenes. You have the appeals that are going to be happening for regions. You have the Keenan situation, which you brought up, which is he's going to have to be an investigative journalist. So Lou is busy, and we love to have him. Love that we've got contact with him.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of great people that cover high school sports in this state, but none of them can top Lou Bazejack. He does a great job. And with that being said, we're going to hit that next break. And right after that, what do we got next?
Oh, coming up next. Listen, we've still ahead. We've got Palmetto Pro players that we want to hit, some player profiles, some stories we want to bring you from people doing great things from the Palmetto State, and Josh Vinson, Socastee Athletic Director. I've been talking about this for a while. I think that Socastee and Carolina Forest were two of the teams most impacted by the reclassification and then the subsequent regional realignment, because now Socastee athletes, not just the football team, but across all sports, they're going to be busing those athletes, those students, all the way from the Socastee area all the way down to the Monk's Corner area. They're going to be coming back midweek sometimes. And I noticed Socastee did not make an appeal in order to stay with so many of the teams like St. James, like North Myrtle and Myrtle Beach and Conway that went down to 4A. Socastee didn't make an appeal to do that for travel. So I want to ask Josh Vinson about that. When we come back, we appreciate you spending this time with us. Love covering high school sports. Be sure to follow everything we do. You can get Chief Sports South Carolina information across YouTube. You can catch us anytime. Also, download the Chief Sports app. You can email me and Steve at fourquarterfriday@gmail.com. We'll dig into regional realignment, the impact it has for student athletes across all sports with Josh Vinson of Socastee High School when we come back. This is Four Quarter Friday.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
It's the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chiefs Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Steve Hall with you. We have Josh Vincent, Sox D Athletic Director, joining us in just a couple of minutes. We are presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, and we appreciate their partnership. We're going to have more coaches on with us next week, Steve. We've got Jamar McCoy from James Island joining us as part of next week's show, and Burns basketball head coach Lane Fowler. And they're on a roll in one of the toughest regions in the state. So we'll have both of those coaches as part of the show next week. Our thanks to the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. Could not do the show without them.
Yeah, yes, Smitty. I'm looking forward to sitting down with Jamar McCoy. We're going to, you know, have some of the interview with him inside the show next week. And then we're going to have – it's going to be a long conversation, I believe. They were one of the schools that had a rather lengthy appeal process, trying to make the case for them to go down to 4A. So I'm really interested to hear his thoughts on that process and the transfer portal as well. He had to talk to him earlier this week. He had some really interesting takes there. They've been the benefit of some transfers that's coming to them. And one of the reasons why I asked Lou about the bona fide move they had a player transfer to them and that made a bona fide move. So that's something that we'll dig into later with James Island head football coach, Jamar McCoy.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Also, we're going to bring you some news from around the Palmetto State here because we like to celebrate these players, not just what they do while they're on the field right here in front of us in the state of South Carolina, but as we did last week, we told you all about the players that have moved on and had success in the NFL that were playing in the NFC Championship or the AFC Championship. I actually missed one. Puna Ford, I apologize, playing defensive tackle for the Rams. Heartbreaking loss for the Rams last week, and Puna was a part of that. He's a Palmetto State alum as well. But, Steve, this is what we like to do. This is the fun part, is following these players. You see them. Look, they're kids, you know, they're 16, 17 years old, and then you get to see them roll on, and it's really fun to see them do things at that next level and even a level up. But we want to do this. We want to start bringing you the information when somebody, you know, commits or is ready to move on to another school. We want to put an exclamation point on and highlight it because that's a big deal in this young man or woman's life.
Yeah, and first, this is the first time we've been able to like truly do this, Smitty. And I was on X this week and saw this player come across the screen from Wando High School, Matthew Pay, a 6'3" linebacker, 210 pounds, just committed to ECU. I messaged his coach, Coach Perrin. Asked him to send me his senior stats, and if you look at the screen here, 110 tackles, 14 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks, 3 block kicks this year. He's second in career tackles with 227, and second in career TFLs at Wando High School for 27 total. And it jumped off the page because not that it's incredibly late for a commitment at this time of the year. You know, you typically have your signing day you know, beginning of February, the old signing day that was littered with everybody signing, but now because of the December signing period and then you have the transfer portal, it seemed like, hey, a player of this caliber going to ECU, not talking down about ECU, they're a fantastic football program, D1. A player like this might be going to a Power 4 level team in recent years. Smitty?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens. But look, you know, everything's there. I saw Matthew play. He is deserving of this. And it's as you said, East Carolina's a really good program. They've long been able to scoop up really high-level athletes and put plenty of players in the NFL as well. But, I mean, Matthew's numbers there are jaw-dropping, the amount of tackles. And I know, look, different programs may, you know, depends on whether you give half tackles as a full tackle or whatever. But 110 tackles in a high school season, that's legit, man. That's legit, however you're counting them. So that's congratulations to Matthew Pay. Moving on to he's committed to East Carolina. We will continue. Everybody that we're seeing on the high school level here at Four Quarter Friday, everybody we're covering, everybody we're talking about, we're also going to celebrate them as they move to that next level and follow what they do. So Matthew is going to be one of those players. Congratulations. All right, let's get to our next guest. Now we had Lou Bazejack join us in our second quarter. Our third quarter is going to be spent with Josh Vinson, the athletic director at Socastee High School. He's on the move because they're moving regions. Josh has to move. He's always doing something. They've moved your region. Josh, welcome. This is the first time we're having you on. Won't be the last, man. We really appreciate you taking some time this morning with us.
I appreciate it. And, guys, I didn't find out until about 30 seconds ago that the system y'all use is blocked by Orange County Schools. So I'm going to go find a bleacher out here in our stadium and get settled down and talk to y'all about all the greatness of Socastee and everything else.
Well, we really appreciate it. You know, look, for those that don't know, I broadcast the Socastee High School football games. I love spending time with the head coach, Ben Hampton, the whole staff. It's been a very difficult region. And Josh, I want to ask you about that first of all, because I think among all the schools, arguably Socastee and Carolina Forest were two of the most affected by the reclassification.
By far. I mean, with the initial 40 schools that came out, I mean, nothing was really shocking. I was surprised that a couple of our Beach Region mates didn't make it into the top 40 and 5A, but I mean, nothing was shocking, but after the appeals and everything else, definitely Carolina Forest and Socastee were probably the two most impacted schools when it comes to realignments. I mean, just basically when it comes to travel and the time we're going to spend on buses over the next 2 years is definitely going to increase.
Well, yeah. So for those that don't know, the Beach Region, we didn't know how good we had it, right? Because St. James and Socastee right there, and you have North Myrtle and Conway and Myrtle Beach, and these are all natural rivals. Now, Carolina Forest is going to stay, but now Socastee has been put with the Charleston area schools, such as Cane Bay and right. Stratford.
So right now, our region is Carolina Forest, Socastee, Wando, Cane Bay, Goose Creek, and Berkeley. Stratford is appealing to come back. That's the traditional region that they've been a part of, and I know they are appealing to come back to that region. They were moved to the region with Somerville and the Dorchester schools, but I know they're appealing to come back, which will give us a 7-team region made up of two Orys, a Charleston, and everybody else in Berkeley County.
Did you consider an appeal, Josh? Because I thought to stay with the other beach schools, the Grand Strand schools.
Honestly, no, and I'm going to give you my rationale. Why is the multiplier was never a reason to appeal. The multiplier was the number. It was what it is. You know, it is what it is. That's your number. I didn't think about appealing because, you know, we're smaller than a lot of schools, but we get hit pretty hard with the multiplier for two reasons. We're an IB school, which is International Baccalaureate, which is basically the highest level of diploma you can receive and still stay at a traditional high school. And we get students from all over Horry County that come here. And then we just have a lot of educator kids in our community and, you know, that work at our district office that have their kids here at Socastee. And that's very prideful that people, you know, want their kids educated here. But every one of those kids, and my two kids, my daughter was here last year before she graduated. She was a hit on the multiplier because I live in Carolina Forest. You know, my principal has two children here. He lives in Carolina Forest. His two sons are hits on the multiplier. So we had about 170 kids out of district between our IB program and just Horry County staff kids choosing to come to Socastee that happened to live outside the area. And that's what propelled us from an ADM in the mid-1400s to the mid-1700s.
Coach Vinson, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir.
Hitting on that topic, you know, there's been several schools that have tried to apply based on those kind of factoids, but is there any way logistically, speaking from an AD's perspective, to alter this multiplier rule to really just talk about athletes?
Well, I know there's some proposals to adjust it to where kids that are either employees' children or that have been in your feeder schools for a certain amount of time would no longer count as transfers. That stuff we'll vote on, we'll discuss in our 5A meeting in February and vote on it in March, I believe. And then there's talk of adjusting the multiplier from 3.0 to 2.0. I mean, I understand the idea of the multiplier because, you know, schools that have more transfers, you have more, that's more students, that's more of an opportunity to pick up athletes. And, you know, not that our IB students are not athletes, because we have kids that play multiple sports, but for the most part, the majority of our transfers come here for academics. And in retrospect, I wish I would have peeled and have sort of gone the Wade Hampton route of the Arts Academy. But I think James Allen also tried to go the route of the IB school and was denied. So, and I know that happened last time. And I don't feel like we would have won the appeal. Get to the last appellate, you never know. Because I was surprised that some schools were successful. But, you know, that's how it goes. And, you know, that's something I've got to process for the next 2 years of woulda, shoulda, coulda.
You know, Josh, listen, some of this is obviously out of your hands. I'm curious, do you have a perspective on something that I've floated in the past, which is maybe just mixing the regions, allowing Socastee, say, baseball to play against Myrtle Beach and St. James and North Myrtle Beach in those sports at the very least, even if they forced you then to play up in the playoffs, but come up with a way that it cuts the travel down for all of these students and parents in the other sports?
I think everybody would agree. I mean, you won't find an Horry County AD that was upset with the Beach region. I mean, the high school league did such a nice job of putting us together. Sure, it did make finding non-region opponents difficult because if we're playing each other, but then I got to choose who we played. If I wanted to go to Dillon, if I wanted to go to Wando, or if my coaches wanted to go here and there, we got to make that choice. Now we're sort of being told we have to go here, and you know our non-region opponents will be familiar. There will be St. James, Conway, Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach, some Georgetown and other schools like that. But you know they'll be familiar, but it would be nice if we could do the split classifications. I just don't think there was enough support. 5A was very supportive of it. I just don't think there was support in other regions, in other classifications for it. And I get it. Carolina Forest is twice the size of us. Dorman and Wando and Bowling Springs are 2.5 times the size of us in all actuality, if you count 9 through 12. Nobody wants to play schools that are so much bigger than them, but I mean that's part of it. and I'm not worried about our competitiveness. I'm, you know, we'll take a challenge. When I've been AD, we haven't backed down from anybody. I think I've turned down one football game my first year. Coach Knox from Dutch Fort called and wanted to play week two, and I politely declined. But other than that, we haven't shied away from anybody. We'll get in the bus and go. It's going to be a change on our parents, our fans, our athletes that are used to. I did the math. Right now in region play, our average bus ride's about 48 minutes, 28 miles round trip. Now it's going to be 155 miles round trip with almost 4 hours on a bus. So that's going to be a change. And then we're going to have to get out earlier than what we would like. And so I'm just, you know, we're trying to make plans right now for bus drivers. What can we do to make sure kids don't miss that much class? And I've been, you know, the Charleston and Berkeley County ADs have been great working with Carolina Forest and us. They've been real accommodating. And once we get to sit down, I think we can work some things out. But, you know, it's definitely going to be an adjustment.
Coach Vinson, one thing we like to do on this show is highlight your programs and the coaches and the players that you have under your leadership. And I saw on X earlier this week that, yesterday, that Michael Kiegler, one of your wrestlers, broke a 12-year-old Soccacy wrestling record for varsity wins. Yes, can you talk a little about him and your wrestling program?
Yeah, it's pronounced Kegler. His mama will call me. Oh. So it is Kegler. Michael's a tremendous young man. He plays football. He wrestles. He picked up lacrosse last year for the first time and was an all-region lacrosse player. I mean, he is just a natural athlete, but he is one of the most gifted wrestlers that I've ever watched. His dad is actually one of my B team. He's my head coach at Forest Brook Middle School, and he's one of our assistant wrestling coaches. He's been tremendous. Michael, you know, he's grown so much that he's gone from the lighter weight to now to that middleweight. And you talk about competitiveness, you get in the 150, 157, you get up there around 190 and you're wrestling grown men. Even if you don't matter what your age, you are wrestling men. And he has done such a tremendous job. He's a great representative of Soccasty. If he talks, I don't ever hear it. I mean, he's just quiet. You know, I heard on the football field he'll say some things, and I'm sure wrestling he might chirp a bit, but he's just real quiet when he does. He's like, just, you know, as the father of daughters, that's the type of boy you wouldn't mind your daughter bringing home. So he's such a tremendous young man and just humble. I mean, broke a record by Kyle Burton that's been around for 12 years, just said thank you, went about his business and trying to win his next match. So he's, like I said, he's a three sport athlete here, and just like I said, one of our best kids. Wrestling's been a great program. Coach Gibbons and Coach Kegler have done a great job. And that's what I spent the morning. I'm on the bracket committee trying to figure out where everybody's going for the first round. That's not happening Saturday. The high school league's already suspended the wrestling playoffs, and Horry County schools are shut down Saturday and Sunday due to the potential storm. So we'll figure out the wrestling playoffs when we get back, probably sometime middle of next week. But, you know, we'll have a chance. I think we'll be successful in the first round of the duel. Second round will be tough because we'll be going to Chapin, and they're a really good wrestling team. So it'll be tough, but I think we can get through the first round and see what happens.
Yeah, by the way, we're probably going to get snow on the Grand Strand, which we get about once a decade, maybe less. And you see Josh Vinson has got a T-shirt on. So that's
– No, I got a shirt on now.
Okay, it's long sleeve today.
Now, normally I'm wearing shorts, but I got things I got to do this afternoon that required longer pants. I got to meet with some folks. So I wanted to dress a little bit better than my normal shorts and a hoodie. But so
you know what? Coach, listen, we'll let you go here in just a minute. We'll let you get back to work. But first of all, we really appreciate it. I wanted your perspective because, I thought you were so – your school was so affected. All those students were so greatly affected. Another thing that's affecting the Grand Strand area is some new coaches. Now, even though they're outside of your region, I thought you might have some notes you could give us on the background, Jody Jenneret or Stephen Cagle, just some things you might know about those guys.
Well, I mean, Coach Jenneret, when I first got to Horry County in 2015, I believe he was at Ainar. And as far as I know, he's the winningest coach in Ainar history. I mean, you know, he did something that a lot of folks have tried, and that's been very successful at Ainar, because usually their region's filled with Loras, Dillon, Marlboro County, really, really tough opponents. So he did a really good job there. And we played them, non-region and region when he was at West Florence. Obviously did a tremendous job there. You know, that's one of the – you know, I always wish Coach Carroll luck in finding good coaches. I wish he would have swung and missed on that one, because even though we're not in the same region, we're still going to play them. But, no, I think they did a great job there. Coach Cagle, I don't know a lot. That was the one. I know Coach Woolbright that's coming back to North Myrtle. I don't know a lot about Coach Cagle, but I know Coach Liggett's really, really high on him, and, you know, a younger coach. And so, I wish them nothing but the best, unless we're playing them, obviously. Then I hope they come in second.
Well, Josh, we really appreciate your time. We'll stay in touch, and we'll absolutely follow all the programs. You know, I'll be around and keep an eye on it. But we'll do it on this show as well.
I apologize to add travel to your car this fall, but, you know, we'll get used to it.
Oh, I love covering. I love covering your team. I love covering your school. Thanks, Josh. Yeah,
appreciate y'all. Thank you, guys.
That is Josh Vincent. As I said, he's one of the best guys out there, and a fantastic athletic director. He is beloved there at Sauk City High School, and they have got some long trips ahead of them. And I think one of the more interesting things is not, you know, it's kind of a negative. It's not just the travel. It's, as he said, they're going to get the kids out early. Sometimes, well, that's okay, you know, to go from the Surfside Myrtle Beach area, bus a couple of hours down to the Charleston area, pass a lot of pretty things on the way. It's all of those trips coming back on Tuesday night after baseball games or basketball games or track meets or whatever may be going on at Cane Bay or Berkeley or wherever, and Orlando. And then you're coming back through McClellanville and Awendaw, and you're passing. It can be a little bit dangerous. So that's what I'm thinking of. It's a trip that I make, you know, so often. And I wish there were a better solution, but you heard Josh Vincent talk through it. He didn't want to appeal. He didn't think the multiplier was a reason to appeal. But I can tell you, I hope in the future the South Carolina High School League and everybody can come together, wrap their arms around this, and we can cut down the travel for the students and parents in the future. Competition means a lot. Competition means a whole lot. But for me, culture, rivalries, and the travel aspect, getting road fans also and road athletes to those other venues so that we can all be safe and you're playing the teams that you know, the ones that there's a little friction, those rivalries, keep those alive. And I hope we can do a little bit better job of that in the future. I'm not blaming anybody. You heard Josh Vincent talk through it. Nobody has the perfect solution. I just hope it carries more weight the next time we do this.
Man, I'm very thankful. Hey, thank you to Coach Vincent for coming on, man. He was awesome. I could tell you could enjoy sitting down with him and having a beer or something. Like, what a great guy. Loved his mindset from a competitive standpoint. They're not afraid of being in that region. You know, the travel aside, they're looking forward to the challenge. So I enjoyed hearing his thoughts on that.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to hit our last break. We got the fourth quarter coming up. If you missed any part of this, if you want to go back and hear what Lou Bazejack from the state said, or you missed our conversation with Josh Vincent, or our own Steve Hall's observations from catching Gray Collegiate and with Augusta in person, the top 10 rankings, all the things that we do here on Four Quarter Friday. Get to the podcast, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're also on YouTube streaming at Chief Sports South Carolina. The easiest way to do all of this is download the Chief Sports app. It will direct you to all of these things, but I know many of you catch things on Spotify and Apple. This show will be up in podcast form on those platforms. We wrap it up when we come back. We'll tell you about our guest for next week as well. We'll dig into that and maybe the big games we're looking forward to across the state of South Carolina. Matt Smith, Steve Hall, wrapping things up in the fourth quarter when we come back on Four Quarter Friday.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com.
Do your wood floors need a touch up? Visit recoatrevolution.com in South Carolina today.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith and Steve Hall are here with you. And we're going to wrap things up, Steve. I think perhaps we didn't spend enough time, all right? Not for my taste, on some of these new coaching hires and perhaps some of the jobs that are still open out there in high school football. I am absolutely fascinated by the names that are going with the programs here, the circumstances that they're going to be entering. And I wanted you to talk to us a little bit about two there in the Midlands as well that we perhaps didn't spend enough time on in the new White Knoll and Chapin, the jobs there, and their circumstances maybe moving forward. We always laugh. Anybody that's touched in the Midlands, it's kind of like, well, is Gray Collegiate and Dutch Fort going to be good forever? And maybe they will be, but there doesn't mean there's not some great jobs there in the Midlands and extended Columbia area.
Yeah, Smitty, interesting point there. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of coaches this month in the football ranks, and the Chapin job is looked at as a very attractive landing spot because and that's a little surprising maybe to most people that don't follow it as closely as we do, because Dutch Fork is right there. And Dutch Fork is not going anywhere next year. I mean, they have gotten some big-time transfers in. They're reloading at some positions offensively. You know, I'm not really sure exactly defensively what it's going to look like. I know Jaden Worth is still going to be there on the defensive side of the ball for Dutch Fork. But there's a lot of speculation out there that this could be Tom Knotts' last year to, you know, be at Dutch Fork. His son, Jackson Knox, Knotts, the quarterback, is going to be a senior. And, you know, there's the speculation. Like, once his son is done, he might be done coaching, at least at Dutch Fork. None of the – I never – I never count that as 100% though, because a guy like Tom Knotts is as competitive as you get. And if there's any kind of records to be set with staying on another year to continue winning state championships, that will be interesting to see what happens. But in the coaching ranks, Smitty, people are looking at that Chapin job being even more attractive once Tom Knotts may decide to retire at Dutch Fork. As far as the White Knoll, you know, job, I've always viewed that as one of the best jobs in the Midlands. You know, you got plenty of athletes there. I think we hit on this earlier. There has been some, Lou said it, kind of there's going to be some transfers that have moved on after Coach Pelham decided to take the job at Lake Wylie. But when you bring in a state championship level coach, Victor Floyd from Chester, you know, you can kind of overcome those early obstacles, and you know, he doesn't seem to be a guy who moves around very, very quickly. He stays committed to programs he builds and builds them into winners. So interesting, interesting to see what happens in this region moving forward for the next few years.
Absolutely. So I'm glad you gave us those some of that background there. I love what you said about Chapin being one of those jobs that, you know, maybe they've got the right connection now. Corey Helms is now the head coach. Chapin, an area that's growing. That's one to keep an eye on. You heard Josh Vinson, Sykes D athletic director, mention Perry Woolbright coming back to North Myrtle Beach. That's someone that's had success across the state. We have a lot of coaches that have had some success in both the upper state and lower state, or in the Midlands and in the Charleston area, that are taking some of these jobs. And then you have some like that seem married to one area. And you heard Josh Vinson say almost like, doggone it, Conway got Jody Jenneret. They might have hit a home run there. And he was the offensive coordinator at North Myrtle Beach this past season. He's been the head coach at West Florence and Ainer. And you heard Josh say that he thinks he's the all-time winningest coach with the Ainer Blue Jackets. Colleton County's hired the Cougars have got Bradley Adams, who is, as you said, Steve, you were right. He's the all-time leader in wins at Georgetown High School, but he's got some background in the upstate as well, leading both Woodruff and Union County to the playoffs. Bobby Ruff now has been coaching in college. He was with Liberty University, now comes back to Liberty High School. How much does anybody want to wager that Bobby Ruff now, with all of his experience at the collegiate level, coaching linebackers and on the defensive side, that he doesn't get that Liberty defense rolling quickly? So I'm really excited now about seeing these coaches put the emphasis on what they do, putting their mark and their fingerprints on these different programs. And I said it, here's what I hear about Jody Jenneret. Everywhere I turn, I hear it. What you said to me, by the way, was that's just a ball coach. And I have heard over and over that he's going to clean up the discipline, that this is going to be a buttoned up Conway program, and he's going to develop it in the weight room and make his mark on that Tigers program and try to bring them back. Of course, listen, this is part of a larger topic, but you know, Carolina Forest growing in the way that it has. One of the largest schools now in the state of South Carolina. That certainly was going to take away, as more people moved to that Carolina Forest in the suburbs, was going to take away from what Conway was going to do in terms of, you know, enrollment. This happens everywhere. We know this happened in Sumter County. We know this has happened in the upstate as well, just as things move and the ebb and flows about what's popular and the best area to live at a given time. And Conway, I think, was hurt by that a little bit. But now I think there's going to be new excitement around the program with Jody Jenneret. And I don't think we can overstate it. They're dropping down to 4A. They've got, you know, a region with a lot of teams that they know. Tell me Jody Jenneret doesn't know what he's getting into, right? Because they're going to be playing teams like where he's worked. He's worked and coached against these teams forever. So to me, that's one right there. That is a program that really struggled, really scuffled last season. I think, I'm not saying snap of the fingers, but I think it's a new day, a new dawn for Conway football starting next season.
Yeah, and it's great to see Coach Jenneret go home. You know, he's got a passion about that place. And, I will not be surprised. In fact, I'm counting on the fact that they are going to get a lot better And I think it'll be a lot, you know, faster than some people might think. You know, he does not lose. He's a winner. And it's going to be exciting. Smitty, before we get out of here real quick, we got some big games coming up tonight, especially in the upstate. You know, they got, you know, iced out on Tuesday. Yes. They were still dealing with the roads. So not as much report from the upstate as far as basketball goes, but there's a big game tonight in the Charleston area. Cane Bay and Goose Creek play tonight. Let's see. Ridgeview's going to be playing Spring Valley tonight in the Columbia area. Burns and Gaffney are playing tonight. TL Hanna and Greenwood are playing tonight in the upstate. And we know we got to get these games in because next week we're going to have some snow on the ground potentially. So, Smitty, we got to get out of here, ready for the Inside the Gamecocks show. Their Friday show is huge. And, man, I can't wait to see y'all next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody. That's it for Four Quarter Friday. We'll put another one in the books. When we come back, we'll have Burns head coach Lane Fowler and Jamar McCoy from James Island on the show next week.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us, all of South Carolina. We love talking ball, and we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning into the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.